بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. There are two things. One is known as mujahada and the other one is known as riyadah. What is the difference between mujahada and riyadha? Riyadha is exercise and mujahada is effort, struggle. Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi has said, there are two things. One is the urge to commit a sin. There is an urge to commit a sin. And to offer resistance, it is called mujahada, an effort, a struggle, or an endeavor. So one is the urge to commit a sin, and to offer resistance to that sin, resistance. That is what is known as mujahada, an effort or a struggle. The other, which is riyadha, the other is the spring or the source of this urge, which is the kalki radhil or akhlaqi radhila, the contemptible manners. That is the spring or the source of this urge, all these bad qualities. And to check it, that is the source of it, to the point of weakening it, is called riyadha, which is exercise. Time after time, time after time, mujahada after mujahada, it is checking the, attacking the source itself, which is akhlaqi radhila, the bad qualities. We often read the terminology of mujahada and riyadha in books of tasawwuf and suluk. What do they mean? What is the difference between the two? Maulana Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi, nawwarallahu marqadahu wa nafa'ana bi ulumihim ameen, has thrown light on them in his sayings. He has said, when someone's nafs or someone's soul urges him to do something, do it, do it. The force with which he stops it, battles it, offers resistance to it, that force, that effort is called mujahada, said Maulana Thanwi. The urge emanates from a spring or a source which receives crushing blows from repeated mujahada, 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 resistance after resistance after resistance, and that spring or that source receives crushing blows. And it weakens to the point of disappearance, which exercise, this type of exercise is called riyadha. Quitting the permissible, quitting the halal. A man sometimes has to give up that which is even permissible in order to save himself from committing a sin. A thing might be proper, but one has to quit it lest he might be tempted through it to do something that is not allowed. For instance, the Sufis tell us sometimes that we must eat less than what satisfies our hunger. Of course, it is not a sin to eat a full stomach. In spite of that, they advise us to remain a little hungry. Eating less than required is a mujahada. That is a mujahada, an effort for the soul, for the nafs. And it will enable that nafs and that soul to resist the urge to sin. Just that simple thing will enable the nafs and the ruh and the soul to resist the urge to sin. So eating less. Maulana Mufti Taqi Usmani alay, sorry, damat barakatuhum, damat barakatuhum. He said, I have touched upon the subject of eating less by way of example. Maulana Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi has said that mujahada, which the Sufis got their pupils to experience, this is not applicable in our times. The people of those times were strong and had a good amount of intake. If they reduced their intake, it did not affect their basic health. Rather, they were able to keep their urge under check. The reduction in consumption was in terms of their own standards. Thus, the measure of limited diet that Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has suggested in the Ihya ul-Ulum is enough for two men of my constitution these days. Hence, Dr. Abdul Hay rahmatullah alayhi used to suggest that the measure of less intake, less eating in our times means what? Is to eat as much as necessary. That's all it means in our times. Not more. As much as necessary. This limit is determined. When should we cut off? This limit is determined at the point when while eating, a man asks himself whether he should stop or eat. There's a point that comes in a man where this question comes up in his mind, whether he should stop or should still eat some more. Instead of choosing to eat more, he must stop. That is the mujahada there. This is the mujahada for eating less in our times. And we don't have to go to that strict routine in the previous times because we are weaker. While there is no harm in eating a few morsels more, no harm, but he is stopped that he may practice mujahada. Accordingly, the Sufis sometimes prevented their disciples from doing the permissible, that they may become accustomed to mujahada. Someone asked Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Nanotwi, rahmatullah alayhi, Maulana, these Sufis disallow many such things which Allah has permitted us. Why do they forbid them? For instance, Allah has made it lawful to eat food, but they ask us not to eat. He has made it lawful to sleep, but they prevent us from sleeping. And Allah allows us to meet and speak with people and talk, yet the Sufis insist that we must cut down on that. Why is it so, Maulana? The nafs of man, Maulana Nanotwi, gave the answer, rahmatullahi. He took a piece of paper and said, fold it to a side. Then he said, straighten that paper now. But it never straightened. That paper never straightened. The crease always gave it a bend towards one side. The crease always gave the paper a bend towards one side. The way to straighten that paper is to fold it on the opposite side. Maulana Nanotwi alayhi rahma then said, the nafs of man is also bent towards sin. By nature, this nafs is bent towards sin. When you try to bring it to the normal level, it doesn't come to it like the paper. It doesn't come to it. Hence, incline it, bend it towards the other side, the opposite side, and have it abandon the things that are even allowed and permissible. So don't try to check it only in things which are impermissible. But incline it, bend it towards the other side, and have the nafs abandon the things that are allowed also and permissible. When the nafs is made to do that, it will rest at the normal level and keep away from sin and disobedience to Allah. Our nafs, our soul, has become accustomed to sin. We seek Allah's protection. Our eyes have become used to looking at the obnoxious and enjoying it, while the Quran calls upon us. Allah says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, say to the believers, يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, that they should lower their gaze. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, say to the mu'mineen, يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, that they should lower their gazes. When one goes out, is he not allowed to look here and there? Of course he is. What he finds before him are things that he's allowed to see: the houses, the road ahead, and the vehicles. However, because a man's eyes have become used to sin and to look at what is sinful, so in order to shut off every possibility and to protect from what is to follow, we are told by Allah to lower our gaze when we go out. Why? If we look at what is proper, if we look at what is proper to look, and we keep on looking at these things, there'll be a time when our eyes will fall on the haram, and our weak heart and weak nafs will commit a sin. But if the gaze is lowered, the possibility is averted. But there's some wisdom in this. When Allah says, lower the gaze, there's some big wisdom in that. When Allah says, tell the believing men and the believing women both that they should lower their gaze. How to protect one's gaze? And this is one of the biggest problems and simplest things to happen to man: gaze. Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi has said that when Allah, it goes way back in time, when Allah expelled the shaitan, Iblis, he swore that he would tempt man on his right and his left, he will tempt him, and in front of him and behind him. Shaitan swore. The devil counted out the four directions, but he forgot two sides. Look how deep this is. He forgot two sides, the side above and the side below. This means that these two directions are beyond the reach of any devil and shaitan. Hence, if we turn our gaze to any one of the four directions, right, left, in front and behind, the devil may tempt us. But if we look above or we lower the gaze, the devil will not tempt us. He can't reach there. Of these two possibilities, the first one is dangerous in that we will fall down if we walk while looking upwards, which leaves us with only one possibility, that of keeping our gaze down. The hikmah, the wisdom of Quran to tell them to lower their gaze. This is an experience of mujahada, effort and struggle. The aim, of course, of this is to avert looking at women. That's the aim. To avert looking at women who are not mahram and enjoying ourselves. But the check is placed beforehand. Keep eyes down, keep eyes down. Do not look sideways. This is a mujahada. You know what? After this mujahada and this exercise, time after time, man will be accustomed to keeping his eyes away from gair mahram women. And if they happen to fall on them, he will turn them away instantly. But this is after some time. When he is conditioned in that way, then there is no harm now if he looks sideways to right, in front, back. There's no harm because he's now conditioned and trained. But the training must come first. He may look at whatever Allah has permitted him to look. We have seen, therefore, that sometimes it is necessary to quit the halal, even to quit the lawful, to be able to keep away from the unlawful. This is known as mujahada. Quitting the lawful, halal, to be able to keep away from the haram. This is known as mujahada. And what's the result? The result of mujahada is that the khalqi radhil or akhlaqi radhila, the contemptible manners, the vile, low qualities, which is the source and the spring, in the inner self, in the nafs, are reformed. Mujahada after mujahada, the inner self, these qualities are reformed. For instance, a man who loved wealth or the world, his love becomes civilized because of the mujahada. He experienced lustful desires or anger But these things too stand corrected through his mujahada. When these ravail or contemptible manners are thus reformed, the exercise is termed riyadha. This is now riyadha. However, even after they are reformed, it is necessary to supervise the ravail, the bad manners, at all times. One can never feel relieved of supervision all his life. It's a big jihad. A constant check is always essential. My respected father, Rahmatullah Alayhi, was wont to say, this is a lifelong disease, a lifelong disease on which one must always keep an eye lest he may take a wrong step. We must remember that these ravail do not vanish because of the mujahada. They don't go away, but they become feeble, they become weak, and may revive anytime and pull man towards sin. So it's a lifetime struggle and supervision is always needed. Maulana Rumi, Jalaluddin Rumi, has said about it, on this path we have to scratch and correct at every step. On this path we have to scratch and correct at every step. We cannot sit idle till the last breath. Need to re-examine. Maulana Thanwi Alayhi Rahma goes on to say, as long as the seed is not removed, it is necessary to renew treatment, and there is no way to remove it. Wow, there is no way to remove it totally. Anfasi Isa. If the essence or seed is not totally wiped out, then it can show its influence at any moment. Therefore, the treatment must be repeated regularly. One must never imagine that his visits to the Shaykh, that the mujahadas and the corrections that followed, and the shunning of evil, these things ensure that he will never return to evil ways. Rather, there can always be a relapse. Accordingly, Maulana Thanwi Alayhi Rahma has explained it to us through an example, says Maulana Thanwi. Is it that if we take medicine and are cured of a seasonal disease, we will never have a relapse? Is there a treatment that ensures that bile should not grow again? If that is so, then the advantages that accrue from the compounds of bile would be lost. Similarly, there are many advantages from the seed of sensual desires. There are advantages in their presence. In other words, if a man gets the fever that is common in a season and consults a doctor who prescribes medicine that cures him, then is that a guarantee that he will never get fever again? The doctor treats only the disease that the patient was inflicted with. To ensure that he does not fall ill again, the patient will have to take precautionary measures himself. But even that does not preclude the possibility of the fever recurring. If that happens, he will have to consult the doctor again and undergo treatment. It is the same with the ravail, the base, low, vile qualities. If one of them is cured after observing the prescription of the Sheikh, it does not follow that one is immunized from the ravail and that he will not get the same thing again. The Sheikh must be consulted again when he gets the worthless malady a second time. Treat the akhlaqi ravail, the akhlaqi ravila, regularly. Someone asked Maulana Thanwi, Rahmatullah Alayhi, Maulana, it is very amazing that as long as I am with you, O Hazrat, I feel very purified, as though the contemptible manners have been crushed, and I hate sin and incline towards piety. But when I go home from here, I am taken over by the same condition. Why is it so? Maulana comforted him, and there was nothing surprising in that. For he said, I am like a washerman. When your garments are dirty, bring them here and I will wash them. But if they are washed once, no washerman will warranty that they will not get dirty again. When they are soiled again, give them to him for rewashing. Hence, it is always necessary to renew treatment. And as for the mashayikh, who are authorized to receive bay'ah, do not suppose that even these mashayikh are perfect and infallible. These sheikhs and mashayikh, they are not innocent, but they too get the urge to commit sin. They get the urge also to commit sin, and they make mistakes too. But you know the what? They have grown an ability and have reformed their manners. Therefore, they get the warning immediately and have to treat themselves. They treat themselves. Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi also said about himself that when he detected a sickness and malady within himself, he treated it himself immediately. These people have attained a state of purity and highness which enables them to diagnose their weakness and to cure it. But we are ordinary people and have to go to them as our spiritual doctors for treatment and relate to them our problems and the symptoms. We have to seek their guidance and do that till the last moment of our lives. Great awliyas, great walis also faced similar situations. Man is not an angel. If man were free from urge to commit sin, then there would have been no difference between him and the angels, malaika. The angels lack the urge to sin, as also anger, sexual incitement, hunger and thirst. If man was also deprived of these things, then he would have no excellence over the angels. He would have no excellence over them. Man enjoys excellence over the angels because he is endowed with the capability to do good as well as evil and resist the temptation to do evil. So the presence of these things have great advantage that when we resist it and weaken it, that's how we rise. Neither am I innocent nor excluded to prostrate and supplicate. My merit is that I am likely to err, says the poet. Neither am I innocent nor excluded to prostrate and supplicate. My merit is that I am likely to err. The angels are not only innocent, they are also devoted exclusively to prostration and glorifying Allah. While man is endowed with possibility to commit sin, and he resists that urge for the sake of Allah. The merit itself demands that the ability to err and sin should remain in him. The merit itself demands that the ability to err and sin should remain in him. With that possibility there, he will continue to struggle against temptation. In the beginning, all the struggle will be hard, severe. But after mujahada, it will become mild, which will continue to remain till the last moment. It will be mild till the last moment once we keep supervision over it. He should not be anxious or hopeless because of it, nor neglect it also. In short, one should suppress the temptations and urge of the soul through mujahadas. Fighting it, the resistance, the force, suppress the temptations and the urge of the soul through mujahada, so that they are moderated and keep him away from the unlawful. He will have to do that till death. Allah says in the Quran, "Wa'bud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen." Do the ibadat of your Rabb until the certainty comes, which is death. He will have to do that till death. The struggle mitigates with passage of time. Cure for the akhlaqi radhila. The Mawlana said, Mawlana Tanwi alayhi rahma, one should treat akhlaqi radhila, the bad qualities, One should treat it with understanding and patience. Very important how you treat these qualities. One should treat these bad, worthless, vile qualities known as akhlaqi radhila with understanding and patience. He must take his step cautiously, reflecting whether it is allowed by the Sharia or not. Understanding, thinking, reflection. He must give it proper thought. And Fasi Isa says, Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi means to say that man should do two things to cure akhlaqi radhila. And this is the prescription to cure the bad, evil, contemptible manners. Man should do two things. He should do it, one, with proper reflection, trying to understand what this is about, what this urge is about. Proper reflection. And then, afterwards, if it is unlawful, stay away from it and have patience. Reflection and patience. Reflection and patience. He should reflect and consider if what he does or says, is it sanctioned by the Shariat or not? Try to understand that. Reflect. Ponder. If his answer is that it is unlawful and haram, yet he is inclined still towards it, then he should resort to patience and sabr by staying away from it. And endure the trouble he goes through in resisting it. You have to endure that trouble. If he keeps observing these two things, reflection, understanding, the urge, and the other one is sabr and patience. If he keeps observing these two things, then he will gain control over every revile, if he uses this prescription of reflection and patience. And it is not beyond us. We do not mean to say that this task is very difficult, for whatever responsibility Allah has placed upon us is not beyond our capabilities. Hence, we must tax our brains on how to keep away from sin and tolerate. Tax the brain, reflect, ponder, think, understand how to keep away from sin and tolerate difficulties, sabr and patience now in the way. There will be occasions when man takes a wrong step and errs and will struggle with his nafs always. He will wrestle with the devil. Sometimes his nafs or the devil will knock him out, and sometimes he will knock out the devil. In which case he must show gratitude to Allah, saying, Alhamdulillah. If the devil gets the upper hand, whenever he knocks out the devil, he should say, Alhamdulillah. If the devil gets the upper hand over him, then he must seek forgiveness of Allah, saying, Astaghfirullah. It will turn out after some time that he will succeed over the devil often, inshallah. The Quran says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. And those who strive hard for our cause, in our ways, for our sake, for our pleasure, we shall certainly guide them in our ways, different turuq. The way a child grows up. The Mawlana said, frequently Mawlana Tanwi Ali Rahma used to say, and of course, Maulana Ashraf Ali Tanwi was a master, not just in the field of tasawwuf, but in fiqh, in hadith, in tafsir. Maulana Tanwi, he of course, who also wrote Behishti Zihwar and so many books. Maulana frequently said, do you observe how a child grows up? Have you ever studied that and watched that? One does not realize how he grows older. If he is measured every day, it will not be perceptible, and the day-to-day difference would not be noticed. In reality, however, he keeps growing. That child keeps growing through his growth. His growth is not felt. He soon grows to puberty and young age. He grows a beard and turns into a full-grown man. In the same way, Maulana says, if man follows this path of tariqa, of suluk, with sincerity and steadfastness, istiqamat, and does not be careless, then he will progress gradually like the growth of a child. He will progress gradually. The gradual progress is really the better thing. Because a sudden change would mean that fingers would be pointed out at him. That could spell trial and tribulation. Therefore, a slow, gradual change is better. There is blessing in such a change. One should not sit down losing hope. One should persist and walk on this path, resisting his nafs, doing mujahada, and the devil, resisting them until he succeeds. Allah has promised, وَلَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The good result, which is of course the hereafter, is for the righteous ones, the muttaqeen. May Allah enable us to observe these teachings. Ameen. End of the third sitting. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilaik. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.